podcast too. So good. Oh, okay. You're here. I invited Frost. I invited Zahara. I don't have.
I think Frost said he had just a few minutes, but can you invite Roger and Vanya back?
Yeah, you can too, I think.
I don't know how. I was looking earlier.
Oh, okay.
I know, it's lame. I can't help it.
I'm hoping everyone can hear us.
Yep, they have sound. Hello, ungodly handsome chat room.
Awesome, awesome. I can hear us in the chat room, so it's working.
Okay, now we just got to get everybody back.
Yeah, right now it's just me and you. Yeah, I invited Frost and I invited Zahara. We just need to add.
Roger, 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 Roger. Okay, that's Roger. Vanya, can you send me your email?
Yeah. Anyone who is in the hangout before, send us your email in the chat room or send us a PM.
Yeah, either me or to Synth Paradox. One or the other.
I think Synth had to go, but.
Oh, that's right. He did.
Zahara Storm Rage. I don't think there's two Zahara Storm Rages.
Well, there was that one that was pretending to be Zahara, though.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Let me see if I can. All right, hang on.
Okay, there's Vanya with the best name ever.
All right, I'm getting Frost in here, I think. Frost, I just sent you a link.
Hello.
Hey. Okay. We got Frost on. Let's see.
So one thing I don't really like much about the Google Hangouts is that this shouldn't be this hard.
And I feel like it wasn't when we first started doing this.
Okay, Banya, I'm sending you an invite. Thanks for sending me your. Awesome.
So it's funny, I kind of felt like the end of the show there, it was like one of those like deep emotional goodbyes, except without time for it, because like, oh crap, I gotta pack my stuff and I gotta get to the airport. I'm gonna miss you, I'll never see you again for the rest of my life. I gotta go.
Yeah, you know what? I got that sense too. As much time as we spent on the podcast, like, we didn't get a chance to really
to say goodbye.
You know, all things considered, we did a great job with episode 200. I think so. There was a lot of stuff we had to do, and we did a decent job with it.
Okay, so
it
let's see.
Doesn't feel like it's over yet though, because we've still got stuff.
Oh, this is weird. I don't have a screen for the post show. I'm like, I don't have like the Google Hangout screen where I see. Have we got Zahara in here yet?
I've invited Z. I've invited Banya. I've invited Roger Brown. So I'm not sure what the issue is.
Well, they might have to refresh their Google Mail page or whatever page they're using, because sometimes it doesn't do it on its own.
Yeah, hang on.
It doesn't like beep or anything, so it's hard
Notice. I had Google Plus open. I even refreshed a couple times, and I didn't get. Then all of a sudden, it beeped, and there it was.
Whoa. So, while we try to get some of these other people in, why don't you two talk about your favorite in-game and or out-of-game events? I had a chance to talk about that before we had the official show.
Well, actually, I needed to ask Ross Time about this one, because remember the warrior tank that you had for, like, a long time? I cannot remember his name.
Frist?
What was that?
Frist?
Frist, yeah.
Yes.
We got Banya, by the way.
All right, Banya's here.
Yeah.
Okay. One of my favorite memories is when Frostheim, Hrist, Bella, me, and I forget who else, we went on a raid for at Ulduar with Yogg-Saron, and we were trying to kill Yogg-Saron. It was getting pretty horrible. But then Hrist had his rocket boots. You remember this one? And they malfunctioned on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, well, that'll never happen again, because they shot him, like, up into the roof or something like that. And it was just as he walked through the door. He's like, well, that'll never happen again. And so we start over. He takes a step inside the room, and they misfire again and shoot him through the roof. That was hilarious. Probably not so much for him.
Yeah,
We got Roger Brown in, but
can you hear me, yeah?
Yeah, we can hear you. Let's see. Crypto was with us. Was there anyone else?
Zahara.
Z. Okay, we got to get Z in here still.
I don't know. I think favorite in-game events. I mean, I definitely think a lot of the WAGU events. And I do think the Thunder Bluff raid really stands out, because it was, I think all of the events. The thing that I like about them so much is they had such an incredibly epic feel. You know, especially starting with the level 10 event where we went to kill Emrys and, like, you know, took a boat over to the other continent and marched halfway across the frickin' continent and did some PvP from the Hordes that tried to gank us, and we just swarmed them under. But all of those events had this, like, massively epic feel that you just don't get anywhere else. And wow, it reminded me a little bit of back in the 40-man raiding days, but of course this was like 300 people, and it was sort of the first time for me that WoW really felt like this epic fantasy movie, right? You have this huge army going to take something insanely tougher than them down. And I think just the Thunder Bluff one in particular had some really, really cinematic moments that I was really happy that I was able to screen capture and get put in the video.
We've got six of us now. Zahara has just joined us. So.
Woo!
Hello.
Not just that they were epic, though. It was because we're all hunters, and we were all, like, seriously hunters, not just like, oh, I'm an alt as a hunter. And, you know, we stick it out and do all the we let you do the math, but, you know, we listen to you. And Zahara does the math, too. And, you know, it's just like, we're hunters, we're all dwarves, we're all together, and there's like 300 of us. And anything we did, was just amazing just being around that many others just like us who are, like, mm-hmm. really seriously into hunting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I loved.
Pirates versus ninjas.
Pirates versus ninjas was like the first... I mean, that wasn't the first... I think that was the first event where we didn't... There wasn't, like, a big boss we were going to fight. It's like, up till then, it was like, oh, what's the big tough thing we're going to fight? And Pirates versus Ninjas, that was just so ridiculously fun. To toss on those costumes. But, like, it's a swarm of pirates. It's a swarm of ninjas. That was also, as I recall, one of the very few arena events we did where we didn't end up with a whole bunch of level cap people jumping in to try to gank us.
There was all kinds of variations to the events that we did. The first one was probably the funniest to me, because it was like you and I going, all right, well, we're going to go kill Hogger, we're going to get some footage, maybe we'll get 10 people. Like, we were hoping for double digits.
I know. No, that's true. I was hoping for 20.
We got, like, a confirmed 90 people, and it was probably over 100. Mm-hmm. And we were just totally flabbergasted, and we were like, well, shit. Because we killed Hogger quicker than we could see him. Like, he was dead. He was dead before we got any footage of him, and that was the original goal. And so then we were like, oh, man, what are we going to do with this group that thinks they want to do something epic? So that first one was – that was when we realized we were onto something, really, with the WHU Guild. And, yeah, we got as many as 300 for some of them. But that was really – that first one was the most surprising to me because it was like, holy crap, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, and it's funny because I've had like after that, like I've had – like, over the years, a lot of people, you know, email me and be like, oh, my God, I've seen your WHU events, like, with the WHU Guild. I would like to do something like that. Like, how do you get something, like, that big, you know, together? I mean, how do you make that happen?
Yeah. First, you make the most popular class-specific website on the Internet.
That's like, kind of what I said. I'm like, okay, well, number one, you need to start a blog. And you need to blog every day for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And you need to build up a massive audience for your blog. Then you need to get a gig writing for WoW Insider.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to use that to build things up even more. And then, but I do think the one useful piece, because that's kind of snarky advice. The one useful piece of advice I was able to give people is I think one of the secrets to the success of the WHU, and part of it is, frankly, like, it's the hunter community, and sorry, if you're not hunters, you can't do it. But one of the secrets, I do think, was, like, and hey, put together really cool videos. That is your biggest recruitment tool. Because, like, I think that's why we went from, like, 90 to 100 people in the first one to, like, 350 for the second event. And it was because people saw that video. And one of the keys is, like, when I see some other people do similar, like, we got a whole bunch. We got, like, you know, 60 warlocks together and raffle stomp something. And then they have, like a 45-minute video. Like, nobody wants to see that. Like, you need to just chop that thing down, couple minutes, set it to some music, just the highlights.
Yeah.
When we did Outlands. Because since I'm in Outlands a lot right now, every time I see the Fel Reaver go by, it's like, yeah, I remember when we all stomped your ass. That was fun.
Yep. Well, I always had a harder time. Like, you and I would both make videos in most of the events, and you were better at, like, making them more cinematic, and I always had a harder time cutting things. So yours were always, like, 3 to 4 minutes, and mine were always, like, 8 or 9. Because I just, like, I didn't want to get rid of the epicness. But, let's get some other opinions. Roger, let's get your take here. Do you have a favorite in-game...
Whoa. And he's gone. So, Roger... Do you have a favorite in-game moment or memory?
I was thinking when you were talking about your Nomeregan experiences. Well, I mean, obviously I've had a lot of good times killing the bosses with Method, but I think before that, one memory that has kept that has stayed with me was when I was low level. I think like back in vanilla I was like 50 level or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was playing with my brother. I'm like, okay, let's do BRD, okay? What it's called, yeah?
BlackRock Depths.
BlackRock Depths, yeah. And that instance back then, like now it's been, I think, chopped down into two categories or something.
Yeah, that thing was so huge.
That was massive. And I'm like, okay, look, bro, we need to kill all the bosses here. All of them. So we start... We started a 5-man group, and it took us, I think, around 4 to 5 hours clearing the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the one quote from the, like, we made the group, and from the 5 people that we started, okay, so it was me, my brother, and 3 other guys. One of them stayed with us the whole time. The other 2 spots, we had swapped like 5 or 6 people because, you know, they killed some bosses, then we wiped them, he's gone, then you have to get another guy. And then at the end, when we finally killed the last boss, the other guy who stuck with us the whole time was like, I feel like we're family now.
Yeah, I remember back in vanilla, like, it was, like, I remember it was really easy to get a BRD group together if you were just doing, like, the slave pens.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, if you were like, oh, BRD group, like, oh, what are you doing? Like, oh, I need to do the Emperor. Like, no. I'm not going to the end of that, no.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you would kill, like, certain bosses. You made a group for that, but no group would kill everything. So that was cool. And also, back then, I remember before doing this group, I didn't know what's going on there. It was like a chaos. You know, it's where, how do you get to this boss? How does this work? Where are these doors leading to? But then you do it all, and then you're like, okay, now I know this guy, this place.
Yeah, that's funny. I had a similar experience where I had done BRD, like, many times, but, like, just a little piece here and a little piece there. And I had no conception of the geography. Like, every time I go, it's completely different stuff. I don't know how. And, yeah, the one time that I actually did a complete run, which, as I recall, like, went to, like, 4 in the morning. and we also had, like, a lot of people swap out during it and with, like, a core 3. And, yeah, it but by the time I was done, I was like, oh, now I kind of now I can find things in here.
Yeah,
like,
now
I know where to go to find the 7 dwarves and.
Oh god, that boss, yeah. Oh no, after. Was it after the 7 dwarves? That room where it's like a gauntlet, where the mobs keep
spawning. Oh yeah, the arena, yeah.
Oh my god, how many times did we wipe there?
I swear to god, I think I've only ever done that once. The one time we cleared the whole thing. After that, nobody ever needed to
go there. Yeah, I think so as well. Like, when we said we'll do it, we did it. I didn't even know what you're supposed to do at the start.
I don't think I've ever had a quest for it that involved that. We just did it because we were doing everything.
What was the Odor boss? He was like a robot.
Yeah. The XK... XT.
No. Further along.
Mimiron.
Mimiron. Oh my god. That's the boss that I remember in WoW.
Doing Mimiron hard mode, I swear to god, that almost broke our raid team.
Yeah, of any boss I can ever remember, Mimiron, both regular and then hard mode. Like that's the one that sticks out to me, because my guild was actually like in Kata and into MOP, like, we sort of fell off, became way more casual. In Wrath, we were like fighting for server first and stuff like that, and that was the height of our frustration. And like, once we got to ICC, we actually did, you know, obviously we have someone in the hangout with us who has world first, so I can't really so I can't really brag. But like, in ICC, my guild had a couple server firsts on our server, and so like, we were relatively serious, we were relatively competitive, and fucking Mimiron, man. That one gives me more nightmares than any other 3 bosses combined.
Yeah, that one is also some of the most rage-filled I have seen Hrist.
Yeah,
very, very disappointed with our raid's performance, and particularly like as we're once again doing hard mode like over and over and over and over and over, and then it reaches a point where we start doing worse every attempt until we're like wiping on the first phase, and it's like, what the hell? What the hell? And you can just see
there's a
cursing at his computer.
Yeah. There's a diminishing return there. Banya, how about you? Do you have any favorite in-game memories?
All right, so one of my favorites is we're doing OS3D, where you can get the mount.
And were you pet tanking it? This is important.
No. It was a mixed group. We had a bunch of everybody. And so I think I might have been the only hunter. And so we're in there, we're going, and they're just kicking our butt. And then finally the call goes out, all right, everybody wipe. And I'm like, all right, so I feign death. And my pet's like, no, wait, we totally got this. And I look at his health and I'm like, I got this. And I pop back up and pew, 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 and he goes down and I die. And everyone's like, don't release. So I ended up winning the mount as well.
Oh, nice.
So that was one of my biggest, like, cheer moments.
I do have to say another moment that I really liked was... only because I felt like it was this like beautiful little bit of serendipity with what I was doing with the WHU. I think this was an article I was writing for Scattered Shots about, of course, this is back when you couldn't just spam buttons and do fine. Where I was, you know, doing a lot of 5-man groups when LFR just came out in Wrath, and seeing just like this abysmal hunters doing this horrible DPS, and I'm like, okay, I'm like, this just doesn't seem right to me. And so I did this series of runs, one of which in which I went naked, I'm like, okay.
I remember this. You were testing like what's more important, spec or gear or skill.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right. And so I did one run with gear but no talents. I did a run with talents and no gear. Did a run with nothing. But yeah, so I was naked except for my gun. Running through, and I got the blue proto drake drop, and you know this was like with a guild run, and I told everybody, hey, this is what I'm doing, and they're like, oh, that's fine, whatever. We need to do our daily. Oh no, that was it. None, they had all done their daily, so they all got an alts to do it with me, and yeah, we ran through, and the blue proto drake dropped, and they were all like, and I was like, well, I'm running through naked, not contributing very well, so I shouldn't have it, and they're all like, well, I'm on an alt, I don't want it for my alt, and so I got the blue proto drake because of science.
For science.
That's actually pretty funny because I actually never got to get that mount. I'm so sad about it. I've seen it drop like 5 or 6 times.
Oh.
I never won their all.
I can't tell you how many times Deathbringer's Will dropped and I didn't win the roll. Because I was leading 25 mans at that time in ICC every week, and I never won it. I never even came close to winning it.
See, Deathbringer's Will was not an issue for me because we did not use a role-based system. We used a Frist decides who's going to get stuff.
Yeah, see, if we had like I was leading the damn raids, I would have ended up with Deathbringer's Will if I had done that system. But
well, and it worked well only because nobody really questioned the fairness of Frist. And so, I mean, there was never really any loot drama at all. Just whatever he said went, and everybody was fine with it.
Not every raid had something like that, but we used an EPGP system for a long time that worked pretty well for us. But it wasn't. I mean, there's probably no perfect system, but whatever works best for you.
That's one thing I don't like about this change back to larger raid sizes for the mythic stuff. Because like right now, I have this great 10 man. Everyone gets along. Loot is easy. We just basically roll, and you know, people are usually really good about passing to other people if it's a bigger upgrade for them or whatever. You really can't do that with a larger group. You have to have some sort of system.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Well, I think the best system is just have a Frist in your group. Nobody questions it. There's no drama.
So we just need to clone him,
Yeah,
Luke gets Deathbringer's Will, I had to install a mod for that because every time it proc'd, I would get spammed that the title changes because for female characters, there's some titles that change if you're male.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, every time it proc'd, I'd get the spam title change. So I had to get a mod to block that.
That's awesome. I do want to say, I want to thank everyone, the stalwarts in the chat room, who are like still hanging on and listening. We have some that are in-game too. So the in-game stuff died down. Like, we did our giveaways. We never ended up doing a raid like we thought we might because the show just went way too long. And I guess you guys found your own fun. They were doing like Battlegrounds or something. I don't even know what was going on. But at one point, they were all away doing something, and we were the only ones left in Karanos. Was like me and Frost on. So like anyone who's still listening and sticking around, like you guys are awesome. I didn't expect it to go this long. I thought it had a chance to go this long, but I mean, I think given the circumstances and the number of people we had on and the fact that this is like the end of everything, it's
wow. Okay.
So the end of the hunter, this hunter community that we've had, the WHU and the Hunting Party podcast, like there's a lot of stuff that's ending right now that has really encapsulated the community for a long time. So that's what I'm talking about, not the end of everything. I didn't mean to be that dramatic. So, okay. But the point is, thank you for everyone sticking around in the chat room. You guys are awesome.
And actually, speaking of which, I've probably got like 5 minutes.
Ah, okay.
And then I finally got to get going, so.
Yeah, I told my girlfriend I would call her an hour ago, and that was about an hour and a half ago. So.
God, and my girlfriend, who is my fiance now, by the way.
Yeah, congratulations! Oh, congratulations!
Yes.
Thank you. She's I was like, oh yeah, I have to do this podcast. She's like, I thought you quit your podcast. I'm like, yeah, but they're kind of a special case. Right, they're doing the last one, they're ending it. She's like, okay, that makes sense. I'll do something else. Like, when are you going to be done? I'm like, it's probably going to go really long. It's going to be like all afternoon. And she's like, okay, well, do you want to eat dinner later? And I'm like, yeah, maybe like 6:30, which it's now after.
Yeah. Well, I got away with it with mine by saying that this was the last one. So, because there have been a couple times where I'm like, hey, I can't do anything Saturday afternoon. I have this thing I got to do. And eventually she found out what it was, and she was cool with it. But so I told her, I'm like, this is going to take a while, but it's the very last one. So we're going to be able to hang out on Saturdays now. So she was excited. So she's
one
okay.
of the bonuses of being divorced is I don't have to account to anyone else for my time. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, a different kind of congratulations to you.
Although my husband was always pretty good about that stuff. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, my girlfriend's always been, you know, and actually this is the big advantage to, like, when you start dating and things are in that, like, everything's new and awesome standpoint, is taking that hard stand and being like, hey, just so you know, I do this blog, I do this podcast, the podcast happens at this time, and I raid on these nights.
Yep.
It's like, oh, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
And you could tell, like, you know, like, a year later, like, there was like, oh, you're raiding again? I'm like, yeah, it's Friday night. And, like, okay, I can't say anything because I agreed that that was great and I didn't mind.
Frost, I have a question here. I need to have this answered. So I go on the Hunters Union site into the back end stuff that only you and I have access to, and I'm looking at the drafts, and there is a post that you last edited in July that I need to read aloud on air here, and I'm very curious as to why it exists as a draft in the Warcraft Hunters Union. It's called Living Room Furniture. And so here's the text of it. It says, all living room furniture like couches is awesome, especially when, giant break, you use it to make a fort to live in. It's a living room inside a living room. I like to put Kaukness, I assume that's couches, but it's spelled Kaukness, on top of rocking chairs, and then use that like a diving board to dive into a thick rug, thick area rug of awesomeness. Then I swim through the thick fibers of the rug until I discover diamonds, then retire rich and become a superhero. And that's the end of the goddamn draft.
Oh, I didn't realize that saved. I can tell you exactly what that was for. It's a bit of a long story.
Oh my god. So, I'm trying to do some cleanup on the WHU, and I go into the drafts thinking, like, have I written any drafts that I forgot about that I want to post? And I see this thing called living room furniture, and it's like you drunkenly talking about swimming through rugs and retiring rich and becoming a superhero.
There's actually a legitimate reason. So this is actually related to work. There is this service called Zamanta, which you've probably seen on. It's like the weird thing that, like, when you're in the admin area and writing a blog, it's like got the like recommended posts thing. You know what I'm talking about? So when you're writing, a blog, it's a WordPress plugin you can get that only the admin sees. So when you're writing a post, it goes, oh, here's recommended posts. And you can pay to have Zamanta recommend your posts to other bloggers in hopes that they will click on it and link to it at the bottom of their post. And so for SEO reasons, you want to get links. And this is like one of the, you know, legitimate ways of getting links, because you're not paying the blogger for the link, you're just paying Zamanta to show your post to the blogger. They decide if they want to link to it or not. And so I was talking about how it works by semantic relevance. So I'm like, yeah, like, for example, if I was writing a... And so I, like, popped open Warcraft Hunters, and I'm like, yeah, so, like, if I'm writing a post about living rooms,
yeah,
and you can see how its recommendations change based on the content. So I'm like, yeah, so if I'm writing, like, oh, yeah, and, like, living rooms and blah, 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 I had no recollection until you read that of what I actually wrote. And I was like, oh, and yeah, see, if I say this word several times, now it's doing this. But if I introduce these words, now this is coming in. So it's just... And then I didn't save it, but WordPress apparently saved it into drafts for me.
WordPress saved the draft. I like to put couches on top of rocking chairs and then use that like a diving board to dive into a thick area rug of awesomeness. This you can't make this up. Like, I can't imagine you writing this
in my defense, the entire time I was writing it, I was like talking to my boss and explaining how Zamanta works. So I was just like, it was very Ulysses stream of consciousness.
I have to point out that the chat room is going absolutely batshit over this right now. So they're saying the best is that now Frost will explain why this is totally logical.
It is!
With totally logical all in caps.
Oh, my favorite comment is draft. Seems pretty polished to me.
Yeah. Oh, man. So I saw this, and I caught this like 3 weeks ago, and I mentioned it on the 199, on episode 199. And I'm like, I am saving this for episode 200, because whatever the hell this is, we have to shame Frostheim with it.
I was just demonstrating how the semantic relevance worked.
Yeah, of course.
So it didn't matter what
I wrote. Of course, the semantic
wrote.
Relevance. How did I not figure that out?
So I can see how the fact that it saved it would be very strange
right.
when you're looking through drafts on the Hunter right. the Hunter blog. You're like, what? What?
So, I considered posting it and being like, hey, guys, so this exists. Enjoy. But I thought I'd bring it up on the last podcast here. So, yeah, the chat room's going absolutely nuts. It's hilarious. Final Stand, who won one of the two giveaways that we had, asked about having BRK record a message for his voicemail, and I never got around to that before BRK left. I felt bad.
Oh.
Because I thought that would have been awesome. He was like, BRK, everything
BRK
he says is awesome.
Would.
Yeah, you know what? I think we might be able to get this to happen still. So we'll get him in touch with you. I have your information because I just sent you that email with the, I think it was the Alterac Brewpup that I sent to Final Stand. So we'll get him in touch with you. I think that'd be awesome to learn that BRK recorded a voicemail message for some random person.
Oh, and you know what I should do? Something else on the WHU that I had meant. There's a couple things that I mean to do once we actually have it closed down. I want to go into all of the guides and just put like a little message at the top of each guide saying like, hey, this is no longer being updated. You can find a list to other Hunter resources here.
Yeah.
But one of the other things, like in the past, what I've done, because this is like poor SEO planning, but in the past I would have like a page that collected all of the guides, except it was called like Wrath of the Lich King Guides. And Cataclysm came out, and I obviously couldn't keep using that same page for the guides. So I had to make a new one called Cataclysm Guides, and I 301 redirected the Wrath, and you'll notice like now the actual URL of the MOP guides is just WoW Hunter Guides. But so I would 301 redirect that to the new one, and then every now and then people would come up to me and be like, hey, yeah, I want to see the Wrath Guides. And I'm like, why do you want to see the Wrath Guides? It's Cataclysm. They're like, oh, I'm playing on a private server. And we're a Wrath server. And I'm like, fuck you, you're playing on a private server. I'm not giving you shit. They're gone.
Oh, I still have a copy of the Wrath version of my website, and it's not linked anywhere. And people periodically email me or tweet me asking me for the URL because some people still use it.
Yeah, and it's probably because they're playing on a private server.
Oh, it's
that's
totally
because
like, they're playing on a private server.
Yeah, and so...
The only reason I haven't deleted those because people are actually still using it.
And so I've always just been like, screw you. You don't get it. You're cheating. You're not...
I can tell you, though, because I actually recently played on a private server, level 60.
God, oh, see, that would be kind of cool.
How? Yeah, cool at the start, but... Dude... It's so bad. I can't even believe how was I playing back then?
Like, yeah.
The dead zone. Listen, the dead zone was 15 yards. Like,
oh my god.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
You don't realize.
So that's like an early vanilla server too.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, one of the most fun things in the world. So once I did, you know, my crowning achievement was the Syndragosa tanking, and then you were in charge of the scattered shots column at the time, Frost, and you posted that, and like the first 20 comments were like, that's fake, that's not real, that's a private server. Everyone was, and so I was in heaven thinking, awesome, I did something of worth, you know, because And this is, you know, I really have to thank you, because when I first started playing the game, and honestly, when I first started writing for the WHU, I wasn't a good enough hunter to be writing for a very popular hunter website.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that on your, like, farewell post. You're like, yeah, actually, I hadn't actually ever done any of this.
Right. So when I emailed you, I was like, hey, I've been doing a lot of tanking, and I, like, somehow, I don't think I explicitly said it, but, like, the assumption was that I had been tanking heroics.
Definitely deliberately misled.
Yeah. The assumption was that I had been tanking heroics, and I never said that I hadn't. But, like, when I first emailed you, I hadn't successfully tanked a heroic yet. But I also knew, but I was self-aware enough to know that, like, I sucked, and I had so much room for improvement. And I really did. I became a really good hunter. But when I first started writing for the WHU, I was a not very good hunter. And so, like, you taking a chance on someone who you knew could write well and was, you know, dedicated and hardworking, I really have to thank you for that, because when I first started, I wasn't at the level I probably should have been to be writing for a popular hunter site, but I got to that point in a hurry because, you know, I was posting videos and stuff and people were calling me out on it, and I said, all right, I got to work on this stuff, and I did. And that, honestly, like, the hunter community and the YouTube community and the WHU group that were asking me questions and stuff, like, that's what pushed me to become as good as I became, which really, I didn't peak until, like, mid-Cataclysm, with what I thought was, like, my huntering skill. Sure. And it was really awesome to become an elite hunter that could do anything from sort of this basic level of, well, I'm trying something new, but I don't really know what I'm doing. So thank you. Thank you for taking a chance on that and for letting me come on to the WHU, because I really appreciated the opportunity. And I like to think that I would like to think that I made it worth your while for me to come on.
Well, and that's one of the interesting things that I have learned in life in general, not just WoW, but nothing, I think, makes you better at something than trying to teach it.
Yeah.
And that's like, I can't tell you the number of times where I'm writing an article, I'm like, okay, I'm writing this article, oh, and this works like this, and then I'm like, motherfucker, I'm pretty sure I'm right, but if I'm wrong, 8,000 people are going to jump down my throat.
You find that out in a hurry. And
yeah,
like,
so, like, I had better just double check. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, there were, you know, it sucks to, you know, publicly do something, get called out, and be like, oh, shit, yeah, I was wrong.
Once I got called out, I had, like, a big article talking about, like, the best tanking pet, and somebody, like, did some theory crafting that I hadn't thought of. Like, I tried to do my research, but somebody did some theory crafting that I hadn't thought of and basically said, you're wrong. And I incorporated that into a future article saying, hey, this is an awesome aspect of theory crafting, because, like, when the math says you're wrong, you can test it. And so we tested it, and we revisited the topic, and I said, okay, here's where I was wrong. Let's, you know, and here's the actual recommendation. So I was able to, like, incorporate the criticism into later articles rather than fighting against it. Because absolutely, you're going to get that. You're going to get that.
Yeah, and at some point, you're going to be wrong. I mean, there's just, no matter how much trying to cover your back, like, and that's a really good example, right? It's the most embarrassing one is when you're wrong because you just fucked up. Like, oh, you didn't carry the one. But it's also going to happen frequently where you're wrong. It's like, oh, I didn't even think of approaching the problem in that way. So it wasn't even a part of my, you know, different options that I tested or calculated. But yeah, no, I mean, I think in general, like trying to teach something, WoW does that, it makes you understand it better as you try to come up with a way, with, like, a logical way to explain it that somebody can follow without all the background that you have. But then also, I think a step up is teaching and then trying to teach publicly, because then you really, really, really get, I mean, this is where, like, a lot of my hours in the target dummy were, like, testing ridiculous things, like, you know, and ridiculously minor things. Like, really? Was that ever going to really matter in life? I'm like, probably not. But if I post the wrong thing, I'm going to get a lot of shit for it.
I'm sure Zahara has some experience with that as well. So not necessarily, I mean, most of the time your math is correct, but I'm sure, like, you've had people calling you out on stuff that they think is wrong, whether it is or not, on occasion.
Oh, yeah, I definitely get emails sometimes with people, although they're very good. It's very rare that I get anyone who, like, really is nasty. People are generally very, like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not sure about this. Did you maybe want to change this, or this item has got the wrong stats? I have seen some people who are like, oh my god, I used her side, and it was like, you know, totally sucks. It doesn't do anything right, and like, there's a couple of people who post like that, but none of those people send me emails.
Yeah.
When people want to complain about me, they don't do it to my face.
Actually, I've noticed that too. The worst, like at one point, I don't remember what his name was. At one point, there was like some like, vitriolingly anti-Frost fan.
I remember this guy.
And I call him an anti-fan because, like, most people who are like, yeah, screw Frost Time, I don't like him, they just don't, like, read my stuff. But this guy read every single thing I wrote. Like, you know, the most, like, the biggest fan would. And then, like, and I didn't even know he existed for, like, months. Like, somebody mentioned, like, oh, yeah, this guy's going up again. I'm like, who's that? It's like, what?
You and BRK reached a critical mass of popularity where you started to get those anti-fans. I never experienced
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and it was, my favorite point, like, there was, like, because then somebody, like, pointed, like, oh, right here, and I go over and I look at it, and, you know, I was talking about, like, oh, yeah, and, like, that was it. The most recent scattered shots was just, like, stolen from his guides, and I'm like, I've never heard of this guy. I've never heard of this guy's website. And that's one of the rough things when you're talking about, like, a lot of stuff in WoW. Which isn't to say that I didn't read lots of great hunter sources of information, right?
Yeah.
And learn things from them that I then went on to talk about. But, you know, it's like, but also to some extent, you know, like a boss strategy, or, you know, like the optimal way to do something. Like, at some point, if there's a right answer, a lot of people can come at that independently.
Yeah. Well, I think the reason I, like, never really got that much negative feedback personally was because my stuff is not really opinion oriented or
right. Yeah.
Really. I mean, it's just here, fill in some numbers, get some results. It's not, I don't write stories.
Yeah. If somebody's writing to correct you, they're, you know, correcting a formula or something. It's not necessarily like, oh, I think you're full of shit, but hey, here, I think you missed this. You know, I think you forgot to carry the one,
the
you know,
same thing. When you're actually, once you start going out there with opinions and, you know, telling stories, you know, people will find fault with anything.
Yeah. Especially once you go out and say, this is the best way or this is a better way.
Right. I think that's the difference between what you do, Z, and what, like, a lot of us have done with the blogging world, especially, like, BRK and Frost, who I think became more popular than the rest of us with the blogging world.
And it's rough. I mean, there's a rough balance to maintain between, you know, because when you get a lot of criticism like that, and it doesn't really bother me, I guess I just have a thick skin, but the rough thing is trying to maintain your perspective, because there's so many people that say so much stuff that's just wrong. They're like, oh, that's not true, this is the right way, and they don't back it up with anything. They just say it because that's the way they want it to be.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to dismiss them, but if you reach a point that you sort of automatically dismiss them, well, then you might end up dismissing somebody who's right.
Yeah.
And so
that actually drives me nuts. I get these emails sometimes from people who send me things that I'm pretty sure are wrong but it's like, you know, it's like maybe they changed something in game. I gotta go double check and just make sure they're not on crack, you know.
Yeah, and
it's really a lot of time.
Yeah, and it's really frustrating when their evidence is a broad statement like, oh no, that's not right. Marksmanship does more damage. And I'm like, okay,
those are useless.
Right, it's like the only way I have of guesstimating that, or the only tools I know of to calculate that, suggest you're wrong. So, like, you need to present some data to me and not just the statement.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, it gets tough because you get so used to, you know, if you have like a, you know, 19 full of shit people to one person who has a good point, you know, you got to really be on guard about not getting so used to dismissing people that you dismiss the person that's on point. And I've done that before and gotten called out for it, and deservedly so. I was like, oh, no, I know what I'm doing. This is right. And it turns out I was wrong.
We found out some mechanics that, like, we thought worked a certain way for a very long time, and it turned out that they changed something at some point, and we'd never noticed, and, like, you know, like, I think, like, a big one really is going into this expansion we didn't know about. We didn't really have an accurate picture of how which abilities scaled focus regen. And I don't know if they changed things.
I remember that. Yeah, because I remember doing testing on focus regen stuff.
Yeah, because we thought it worked a certain way based on like how some of the abilities were described, and a lot of that stuff was very hard to test very effectively.
Yeah.
So we weren't really sure, and then we discovered at least one of the abilities gave focus regen that we didn't think do. I think it was rapid fire, because rapid fire was always described as attack speed.
That's right.
And we could never figure out if they changed it or if it was always that way and we just didn't test it thoroughly enough before, but then it became this whole big thing. We got to retest everything and get really clear, and we got them to change a whole bunch of tooltips. And
yes. Sorry to be a non sequitur here. Ali, can you share the show notes with the Hunting Party podcast email? I don't have access to it right now because I'm not on Arth's email. I'm on the Hunting Party podcast email, and I forgot to share it. Thank you in advance.
Well, on that note, I'm a good 15 minutes past my deadline.
What's a bit more?
So I do have to take off.
Ooh, yeah. I have a limit here, but I have about another half hour or so before I really hit my wall. So I mean, honestly, I've just been happy to keep going with anyone who's available, because I don't want this to end. I think it really hasn't hit me yet, but it's going to at some point. Yeah, that like everything's done here, because I'm, you know, it's the double whammy of the WHU ending and the HPP ending. So like I feel like I'm gonna hate myself here in a week or two when I don't have anything going on with the Hunter world. So. But yeah, Frost, thanks again so much for everything. I still have a little bit of work to do with the WHU. I know you're going to be helping out a little bit, but it's been awesome, and this has been awesome. I'm going to be back, and I'm going to be playing in Warlords of Draenor, but I won't be blogging, of course. So I'm sure I'll keep in touch with a lot of you guys, and you know, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, likewise. I very much hope I continue to keep in touch with you guys now with the Hunting Party podcast going away. That's like kind of one last one fewer links I have to all of the WoW peeps.
Right.
And I'm sure at some point I'll chat with Zerhera again the next time I'm desperately stuck on a PHP thing and randomly tweeted, "Can someone help me fix the code?"
Or if you need some new books, just poke me.
Yeah, I'm totally going to stalk your Goodreads now that we're hooked up there. Because I'm frequently running. Back in the day when I was very, very young, when I worked at a bookstore, it was awesome. I had a to-read list that never, ever ended.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, huh, what am I going to read next? Okay, I'm going to look and see what people have recommendations that maybe it sucks, maybe it doesn't. I don't know who these strangers on the internet are. So, yeah, no. More recommendations for books is very useful now that I'm actually have a commute where I can read while I'm commuting.
Yeah, when I go to the office, I'm on the subway for like close to an hour, so I get a lot of reading done.
All right, well, I do have to take off, so hopefully I will talk to you guys sometime in the near future.
Nice feeling getting to talk to you.
It was fun.
Yep, take care, boss.
Totally going to try to get down to Florida sometime.
Definitely.
Meet the rhinos.
Bye.
Bye, Frost.
I think I'd actually kind of like to go to Greece and then just like sit behind Roger, kind of like a little bit to the side, just watch him play.
Watch a method raid, yeah. You know,
I wouldn't learn anything by it because I would just be watching. I wouldn't understand what I'm seeing. But
sure you would. I feel like I'm a good enough hunter that I would understand like the highest level hunters, even if they're better than me. Like I'd understand what's going on. So
I think you wouldn't want to be around when I'm progressing, though. What you would see is probably like a tower of monster drinks next to my desk.
Oh yeah.
And me being all nerdy in my room. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
that's okay.
Yeah.
We're all nerdy except for Banya.
We still got five of us left, which is like a large show by Hunting Party podcast standards. I know it feels like everybody's gone, but we still have more people than we've had on since God knows when. So it this has been awesome. I'm gonna go back and listen to this and really reminisce, and it's really gonna be awesome. So one of the things speaking of like watching Roger play with Method that I've always really been curious about. So like I've taken when I started writing for the WHO, I was pretty terrible. And I got, you know, I forced myself to get better in a hurry. And I got to the point where I felt like I could do pretty much anything that the Hunter class is able to do with some level of proficiency. But the guilds that I was with were never like hardcore progression guilds. At one point, and like I said, it was during like Uduar and Argent Tournament and ICC, where we were like competing for server first and stuff like that. But I was never in a guild that was so serious that it was like competing for, you know, country world first or world first and things like that. And I always wondered what it would be like if I had equivalent gear to some of these guilds that are doing just the high-level heroics constantly and have, you know, are completely best in slot and everything. And, you know, getting to compete against that level of hunter and that level of raiding. And then I never quite got to do it. And I'm sure it's something, you know, my life has taken me in different directions. I don't have the time to spend on WoW that I used to. So I'm sure it's something I'll never quite get to do. But I was always real curious. I always wished there was, like, some arena in which we could sort of normalize our gear and our stats and I could compete against everybody else to see exactly where I fell in relation to, because I know there's hunters out there that are more skilled than me, but I always wondered like how close I could get to those top level hunters, and I don't think I ever quite got a chance to find out. That's maybe my one big regret in WoW.
Yeah, I mean, I'll agree to the fact that you just said that I'm pretty sure there are better hunters out there than me that just don't have the time or, you know, just don't have the guild or whatever to actually play in the same sure. level as Method. And for me personally, as you said, Ulduar actually is when I actually made the jump to Method. I was in a guild back then with kind of friends, like half the guild was Greek, so we just have like this guild atmosphere, which is kind of fun. But at that point, I said to myself that, yeah, I want more from the game. It was just the frustration from, you know, feeling like we're not progressing enough that pushed me into just, you know, applying to the best guild back then, which was Method. And to be honest, I don't regret that decision at all. I mean, it's always hard leaving your guild, joining another guild, but I've really enjoyed my time in World of Warcraft after doing so. Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that where the gear is the same is challenge modes right now, or well, the where do you go? How is it called? Where you DPS or tank or heal by yourself? Not the Brawler's Guild.
Yeah, now I'm brain farting too.
Damn. Whatever. Where you get the gold or like 30 levels achievement? I don't know. I haven't even done that to be honest. But I don't know. Yeah, I think if you really want this, you should try it out. But it has some
I'm sure there's a sacrifice involved, you know.
Yeah, sacrifice and requirements time wise for you to do so.
Yeah, and that's what I was never able to. That's what I was never able to commit to. Once I got to the level where I felt like I could jump up to those types of guilds, I wasn't ready to commit that type of time to the game. So
Proving grounds, by the way. Yeah.
Proving grounds. There we go. Yeah. Yeah. And on, I knew exactly what you were talking about. I just couldn't remember. Yeah.
So, oh, by the way, yeah. Can I just quickly say, like, I had the moment in game where I thought it was just fate. Yeah. It was right before Cataclysm was released. I actually took my computer and went to a guildmate of ours, Razi, who is in Method, just to nerd it out together, you know, just play a couple of weeks together as soon as Cataclysm is out. And I was, all like 2 months before that, I was like, oh, I need to get the blue Drake. Do you remember there was a Drake which dropped from either Maligos Tenman or from doing Oculus. Because everyone hated Oculus, and they said, okay, you get a mount if you are lucky at the end, just to get an extra incentive. So I spammed heroics so much. I think I joined like 1,000 heroics. Of course, if it wasn't Oculus, I just left. Because you had to queue it randomly. So I did so many five-man dungeons back then, and then it's like 1 hour before Cataclysm is released. Literally 1 hour. And it was the first time that the server would just, you know, there was going to be a rollback, or not a rollback, just a flip switched and Cataclysm is up. So it's like 1 hour, and I queue. I'm like, okay, this is my last chance. And I get Oculus. I'm like, oh my god, this is fate. I will get the mount after so much work. And then we kill it, and I don't get it. And I'm so sad, because in Cataclysm they removed it. You can't join random heroic, obviously, so you can't get the bug anymore. I was so sad. I was like, and I remembered it because as we were speaking, some guy with the mount just walked right next to me here in game. Big regrets there. I don't know.
That's how I feel when I see the guys with Mirmorant head or that Firebird from the Firelands.
What? Oh, yeah. The one from Firelands.
Well, yeah. It's a fiery bird. It was just like the most gorgeous thing.
The Avara one is the one that I love. That's my favorite map.
Yeah. That and also the Black Proto Drake, where you had to do the Immortal. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, funnily enough, that was one of the reasons where I said, okay, I'm done. I need to go to a better guild. Because we tried for it, and the last 3 weeks before the next patch came, where you couldn't get it anymore, we reached Kel'Thuzad, and one guy died at the end. I was like, oh.
We had someone who kept disconnecting. They had to log out for the bosses where disconnecting could kill them so that we could get that.
Zahara, you turned your camera off, so we can't see you live in your, you know, pajama things.
I changed out of my pajamas, actually.
I know. I just wanted to reference that. Zahara didn't realize that Google Hangouts automatically shows you if you have, like, a webcam. She was in her pajamas when she first came to the show, so it was... So she was like, oh, crap, I have to change before we actually made the show live.
Yeah, I'm not really one for being on camera.
So, yeah, I mean, everyone has those things that, like, they wish they just missed out on and they wish they had been able to do. There was an all-hunter raid we did, actually. This is hunter-related. So in Cataclysm, I was leading all hunter raids, and we either had, some were 10-mans, most were 25-mans, and we'd take, like, the best geared tunes that we have, and we started just killing.
Oh,
no. He's
gone.
Oh, well.
Stay with us.
I know. He'll be back.
Hopefully. Your picture is awesome, Banya. The picture you have is just kind of awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice picture.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. I actually took that in Africa. I did a research trip where I got to study lions, and it was amazing.
I wondered where that was from. So how do you tame a rhino? I've been wondering about that.
Well, it depends on the rhino. Fortunately, I've gotten to work with a lot of them when they're young. So when you do that, they get to know people, and it's pretty, I mean, easy. I wouldn't say necessarily tame, but you get them used to you. And the little ones really like it when you scratch them, and they'll actually, like, stretch out so you can, like, reach under their leg, and then they fall over when they really like it. And they're just like, rub me all over. But depending on what the rhino likes, you can buy their love with food. It totally works. We've got apples, carrots, banana. They like a lot of fruit and vegetables. Watermelon is one of their favorites.
That works in humans as well, I've heard.
That would be funny if they gave our pets a scritch animation and then, like, they just fall over and just purr or whatever they do.
Yeah. Well, I remember when you used to have to feed them, and they would get unhappy with you.
I used to carry around, like, all the different kinds of food. I had a bag of just, like, various kinds of food, because I never knew what I might stumble across. You know, it's like, oh my god, look at that bat. What do bats eat? Oh, okay, moss, fungus, shrooms. I have shrooms in my bag. I'm ready. You know?
Oh, yeah. I would look at some of the stuff that they would list as what they would eat, and I'm like, I guess that's kind of close to what their diet would be. I mean, I know they have to change it up for in-game and everything, but
yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. So I had a bag of that, and then I had my bag of ammo, and then I had just, you know, the potions, and, you know, it was pretty horrible now that I think about it, but...
Leveling up your pet?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I had to I remember leveling weapons, because I didn't actually train Bow Skell.
Oh, yeah.
For a very long time, because I refused to use a bow. But then when we were doing, in TK, the end boss in TK, you had to use that legendary bow thing. And so not only did I have to level up my bow skill for that fight, but, like, you had to have a different bag for your ammo, so you could, like, or not, you know, like, you had to have... So it was like I had to have room for the ammo and stuff too. It was like a huge pain in the ass. And I like went and I can't remember where I went to level my, it was like Auchendon or something, and just sat there and just leveled my bow.
And you'd have to go to different cities to the different trainers to learn the different ones.
Yeah.
You'd have to go to the website to find out which city to find the trainer.
Yep.
I was very strict about weapons. On my rogue I didn't train sword skill until the glaives. I wanted to be able to use the glaives. Because my rule was I didn't use any weapons taller than me, and I was a gnome. But the glaives just were so cool, I had to make an exception. But then I never got one.
Did you ever level your bare-handed fighting?
I did.
I
was about to remove it. I spent like a week standing out there just like punching stuff.
I think I got it on
like 5 different tunes.
I think I was like punching living trees in Feralis or something like that. Trying to remember.
I
was bandaging people and using throw was like all we could do. I didn't really start raiding on my hunter till like mid-late MC. I don't know if it was really MC days at that point, but it was a lot later because I started her like 6 months after my other three characters. So I got all my early experiences as mostly on my rogue and my warlock.
Yeah, that's not good here. We've all been big hunters from the beginning, so...
Well, like I said, I made my original... Oh, I said it on the chat room. Like, I made my original hunter, and she was a Tauren on a Horde PvP server. And then, like, I got her high enough to leave Barons, and I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't working. It was my rogue. And I also raided heavily on my warlock, but whatever we were missing, I would play it. You know, sometimes
Hello?
I would tank on my warrior.
We hear you.
Hey, okay.
Back.
Yeah, see, I thought you guys were assholes again. I was like, I was telling a story, and you just interrupted me. it always takes me like a solid minute to realize that shit isn't working. So, and the chat room's going, God damn it, Arth. So, apparently it's completely me that's making it glitch in and out, but hopefully they can hear us again.
Hear their comment. We did have one question that was specifically for Zahara from Golder.
I think he left the chat room, but...
Yeah. Does she expect the act of deciding if an item will be an upgrade on the fly be more or less difficult with the removal of reforging?
I actually think that things are going to be a little bit more complicated in the next tier because they're adding these extra stats that get procced on items. It's going to make it very complicated to decide, you know, if you have an item that's lower eye level but it's got this bonus stat on it and the new one doesn't, I think it's going to be really, like, a huge pain.
Actually, that's a good question. Like, do you like this whole idea of having a lot of random stats? Like, I don't think I like it because...
Interesting, but...
Yeah, I liked the idea of knowing when I'm best in slot. You know, okay, I have the best items, I'm done. Yeah. I can, like, play my alts now. And now it's never going to happen. You're always going to have, like...
You'll be like the rest of us, who actually don't ever get our best in slot.
Yeah, okay. That's true. I don't know, though. I mean... You will have I think with these random stats, you will have a situation where you're going to have multiple of the same item,
in your bags, because one is going to give you movement speed, one is going to give you cleave, one is going to give you lifesteal. And
yeah, I'm not sure how well it's going to work out once they actually start putting it in and testing it. I think it's going to have to go through some iterations before they find something that works for them, because I think it's it's kind of questionable. The concept is interesting, but the actual implementation, I think, is going to be kind of a mess. I think they've already figured out that cleave is very hard to make work right, make it actually useful. And I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with some of the
others. The cleave trinkets.
Yeah. Also, from my perspective, if I do stick around and play next expansion, which I still haven't figured out what I'm doing, the implementation of this on my website is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Just doing random stat items right now has been such a huge pain in the ass. I would have to completely rewrite things in a way that would be able to deal with all that stuff. But that's obviously shouldn't be a consideration for how they implement the game.
Ask the guys who make the tools for your game before you change something, please.
Exactly.
I'm just glad the chat room can hear us again. Apparently there was like a few 30-second windows where I was trying to figure out my shit where they couldn't. So I usually don't have these issues, but it's happened a few times today, but fortunately it hasn't been for too long.
Technical issues, take a drink.
Yeah, no, I'm done with the goddamn drinking game. I'm going out tonight. I gotta pick up my girlfriend in like an hour. We're going out to dinner for her birthday, so I have to be somewhat sober.
Yeah, Roger, I don't know if you were in the chat room. Someone asked about what you thought about the mythic changes.
Well,
we talked about this a little bit when you were on the show last time, but go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't want to say because you were like, oh, this is going to be really bad, but I kind of really like the change myself.
Well, I think most 25-man players are happy about it.
Yeah, exactly.
10-man players are all like, should we even bother playing anymore?
Yeah, I feel for you. Like, honestly, I understand how they're pretty much destroying whatever atmosphere you had in the guild. Like, you're forced to bring new people or you have to join another guild. That sucks. But for me personally, I find this an awesome change for multiple reasons. First of all, the lag that you have in game, the input lag, it's going to be so much better with 5 less people. You're going to have...
With 15 less people.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah,
I know. I always play 25 on raids, and then I join a 10-man with my alt. I'm like, what? This game is so fluid now. What's going on? This is a whole new game for me. This is awesome. I also think it's going to be a really good change for the competition. You won't have any more, this is a world first 10-man, this is world first 25-man Asia, this is world first 10-man whatever. You know, you're just going to have one bracket pretty much. And I think that's a good thing for the game moving forward.
I understand the reasoning behind it. It just doesn't solve my problem.
Yeah, I know. That's why I didn't say anything. I didn't want to pour salt in the wound. Yeah.
I totally understand it, though. I mean, I understand why they want to change it that way. It's just, I honestly feel like as this game gets older and older, they're going to have a harder time really maintaining... like the player base to support these larger groups.
Yeah, it's going to be.
I think 10 man raiding, like having a good, solid, challenging 10 man raiding atmosphere has actually helped draw out the health of the game, and I'm kind of worried as to what happens when that's not there.
We'll see. There's a fair number of arguments for and against it. I was initially against it after we had Roger on the show. And he had some of his views, I sort of went the other way and, you know, saw the argument for the other side. So at the moment, I'm just sort of saying, well, I guess we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what happens to the number of raiding players, because I don't know that there's been a change like this in a game where we can say, here's what will happen, definitely. Some people are not liking it, some are. I can see the arguments either way. It isn't going to affect me personally, so I can't speak to it from a personal perspective, but, you know, a lot of players it will be. So I think it'll be interesting just to track the numbers in the next expansion to see what happens.
I think I feel would feel a little differently about it if, like, the mythic was really, like, super hard and was just for people like Roger, really. And then there was, like, a level above what is normal mode now that is, it, maybe it wasn't, maybe not as difficult as heroic is now currently, but is challenging enough to really give the more serious players a bit more to do. Because I think the problem right now is if we're done when we hit normal and we've cleared Garrosh, I would have been done raiding months ago.
And it's going to be called heroic, so it better be a bit more difficult, you know?
Well, but from what they've said so far, it sounds like they're just changing the names.
Yeah, and I know.
That, to me, it makes me wonder what it is that, if you're not raiding 20-man mythic, and you are her or creator now, what do you do with yourself?
Yeah, I know. It's funny because I actually asked this question. Are you planning to make any changes in the sizes of the raids? During Gamescom, I had an interview with Tom Chilton. And I asked him, and he said, yeah, we're probably not going to do this because it's hard for guilds to adjust to the new sizes. And then 3 months later, they actually announced it. I'm like, wow, are you kidding me?
Okay. Well, I picture a big, like, you know, community of devs in the company being really thrilled for this change, the same way that I would be if all of a sudden at work we could finally stop supporting IE8. I mean, I figure that's how they see it. It makes their lives a lot easier. Yeah. It's you know, from the player's perspective, it's, you know, vastly different.
Yeah. Oh, the last thing, and then I promise, the last thing. The other thing which I'm really excited about with this change is that I don't have to do 4 PTR testings of the same boss anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god, thankfully it's going to be cut in half, only
so
2 times.
For the guild-like method, yeah, for someone like Roger, it's absolutely a boon.
Can you,
that this,
did you realize,
that this is happening.
Yeah, 14 bosses in Seas of Orgrimmar times 4. Oh my god, the PTR testing. Jesus. Yeah, so sorry again for interrupting you, go ahead.
No, it's fine. I just hope that, you know, I'm hoping to come back in Warlords of Draenor. I haven't been playing a whole lot recently in Mists of Pandaria, but, you know, Wrath and Cata were my big expansions, and then I'm hoping to come back in Warlords of Draenor, and I hope that there's still a great number of people playing. I hope this doesn't really nuke the number of players that we see with the Mythic rating. I think it's only going to affect, like, the upper echelon of players, so it'll certainly affect some players, but not everyone that's rating. So, I think the hope is just that even if WoW continues to dwindle slightly in terms of subscribers, which is to be expected with a game as old as WoW is, that we still see a pretty healthy player base from which to draw from, so that everyone's experience is as rich as they hope it is. You know,
I think it will definitely be a nice patch, whatever you want to call it, to play. Every time there's a new expansion, I find this to be the most interesting times for me to play, because there are so many new things. The Cataclysm first tier, when it was released, was really good for me. Then Mr. Pandaria as well, so I'm really excited, because when they just throw a new raid boss at you, a new raid instance, it's okay, like, it's new bosses, that's it, pretty much. There's not much new things to do. But every time there's a new expansion, I get really excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's been a lot more excitement over Warlords of Draenor than there has been over the last couple, since, really, Wrath of the Lich King, because of all of the lore implications and different stuff going on. So the buzz around the expansion, I think, is greater than we've seen since Wrath of the Lich King, which now is pretty old. I mean, that was like 5 years ago now that we're talking about. So,
yeah.
So really, it's been a while since we've seen this kind of excitement around it. So hopefully it... I mean, I don't know that it's ever going to jump the player base a great number, but at least maintain the player base that it has, I think, is a reasonable goal for Blizzard moving forward.
I ask you one last question that I've had? Do you think it's interesting that instead of 5 levels, they throw 10 levels this time around? Because I was under the impression that they're going to keep throwing expansions at us until we reach level 100, and that's when it will be the last expansion. But then I see suddenly 10 levels.
That's a I mean, I think that's a that would be something for well, Krithto that we had on earlier. That would be a question right. for him, I think, because I think probably so. Like Project Titan, God knows what that is that people have been talking about for a while. Like there might be something after WoW, and we don't know really know what's coming. And I think the assumption was, yeah, they're going to take us to level 100 and then do something different, but we weren't sure what that was. So I wasn't surprised to see it because everyone wants to get to level 100. So it's cool that we're getting to go 10 levels instead of 5. But I'm not quite sure what's next or what they're going to do after this. If there'll be another expansion or another game or if they'll take us in a different direction, who knows? But I mean,
Blizzard doesn't know about that actually. He says they're already working on the next expansion after this one.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So, already, so.
I imagine as long as they're still making decent money, there's really no reason not to keep doing it.
Yeah, I mean that's really what it comes down to. If the financial side of it is there, I think we'll continue to see that. So that makes sense. It's cool that they're already working on the next expansion, but so maybe level 105 or 110 at that point, we'll just keep going up and up. But yeah, I mean, I guess as long as there's enough subscribers for them to justify it, that they can keep going in WoW, that there doesn't necessarily have to be an endpoint of level 100 or something like that.
And if they're gonna do a movie, that's going to attract a lot of attention, just new people.
Yeah, they're trying to bring people in with the movie. They're trying to create a whole world around it, a whole media empire. It's not just a game. I know one of the execs at BlizzCon referred to, like, the Marvel approach, which is to say, like, Marvel built a world through movies. So, and they now they have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the TV show, and it sort of plays into the comic books, and they're building a media empire through like 3 or 4 different mediums, and I think Blizzard has the resources to be able to do something like that. So who knows, maybe they will just keep revamping WoW so that, you know, 10 years from now WoW is on its 10th expansion or something like that. Which, you know, whether or not I'm still playing, I think that'll be awesome, because as much fun as I've had, you know, if they can continue to do it and people continue to enjoy it, why not keep going?
Yeah.
So I'm close to reaching my limit. I don't want to leave just yet, because as soon as I leave, like, the chat room can't hear anymore, and I don't know that anyone else is set up to do the hangout that syncs with huntingpartypodcast.com. So I think at this point, I think at this point when I leave, that's the end. So we're getting there.
Yeah, I can't stand too much longer.
Right. It's been awesome. I wanted it. I honest to God, I wanted it to last this long. I know some people had to leave, but you know, anything less than like 3 hours, and I was going to be disappointed. And this is going to like 4.5. So.
Well, just remember that we may be ending, but anybody can start a podcast.
Yeah.
And it, you know, your first couple ones, you're going to be kind of really rough, and it's going to be kind of horrible.
Yeah.
But you do get better.
Don't go listen to episode 155. That was my first episode, and I must have sounded like an idiot. And I had a crappy microphone and the whole deal. So, like, yeah, anyone doing it, there's a learning curve. But you get there in a hurry. You really do.
You just need to have something to talk about. And Roger has a lot of expertise in things. Ben has got expertise in different things. Tara, same thing.
Yeah, and we are all still around. So, like, even if we're not playing and we're not going to, like, be on a different podcast, you know, like, BRK wants to be on somebody else's podcast. He will be a guest on your podcast. That is a giant name you can pull onto it. You know, me, Ali, Dark, Yuri, Frost, that have helped set this up for years, you know, have some technical expertise and advice. So if anyone wants to reach out to us, please do. That's absolutely something that you're able to do. So it's been so much fun learning about this side of things and becoming, I think, a semi-competent podcaster. I don't know if I can consider myself professional at it, but I'm definitely better than I was 50 episodes ago.
Yep, and, you know, I think we've shown over the many years that you don't have to be perfect at this. You just have to have something to talk about.
Yep.
And if you don't have anything to talk about, you find other people and invite them on to talk about whatever they're talking about.
Right, exactly. Does anyone have anything else to add? I'm gonna end us with some poetry here if we don't have.
I was gonna ask if you were gonna read the poetry.
Yeah. I've been sitting on these. So this actually started years ago where we I solicited Hunter and Wild poetry from people for we read it at the first WHU barbecue that Frostheim hosted in his hometown, and I did that for like a few years running, and we. It's all posted on the WHU. It's on my goodbye post that I posted this last week. And some really cool stuff. And I pulled a couple of them here to sort of send us off. So the first is the first is called The Eternal Hunter's Soul. It's by Orca of Blood Scalp. And all right. Mysterious and dark is the eternal hunter's soul, lurking and waiting for the sound of battle to call. When the screeches of dragons or exclamation of fear enters his consciousness, he will know the time is here. Armed to the teeth with sword and his gun, he jumps into battle, the beginning of fun. Always by his side, his very loyal friend and pet, the most hideous killing machine you've ever met. He puts ammo in his gun, pours a flask down his throat. With a wicked grim smile, he swears a blood-filled oath. I will not eat or sleep, nor will I lay down my arms until the beast is dead or silenced are the alarms. Then he calls out his fearsome battle shout. He pops a misdirect and starts going all out. Arcane, serpent, chimera, and then an aimed is followed by steady shot until the beast is tamed. True to his oath, he rests first at night when death has come and ended the fight. At the fireplace, he's resting with a beer and his pet, telling stories about heroes and beasts he has met. I thought that was a fitting...
Very nice.
That was epic. Wow.
Absolutely. And that's one of many great poems that people have submitted, but I thought it was a fitting send-off for the Hunting Party podcast. And I thought about it for the general show, but we never got to it because of everything that was going on. So, but thank you all so much. I think this is probably the end of the podcast. Yeah. So thank you for joining us, Banya, Zahara, Roger Brown, Ali. I'm sure this won't be the last I talk to you guys. Continued good luck both in the World of Warcraft and in your personal and professional endeavors. And, you know, if there's anything ever going on that's interesting or exciting within within the game, feel free to let me know about it. We still all have contacts within the blogging and Hunter and World of Warcraft world, and we'll make sure that gets out there to people. So thank you to the chat room. It's been a lot of fun. There isn't going to be a great way to end this, so I think everything that's been said speaks better for this than I ever could. So.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, chat room, for everything.
It's been awesome.
Okay. Oh wait, we had one more poem. It's a haiku. It's called Ale. Dwarven merriment, take up keg and stein. Drink, friend, all is well, drunken haze. Alright, that's gonna be my sign off. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Goodbye.
I can rock out any tree. Now let's begin with Illidan, Osirian, and Kil'jaeden. Magdemar, Ascalor, Gruul, C'thun, and Razorgore. Onyxia to Ragnaros, which one have we killed the most? Kel'thuzad to Malygos, we even killed Akama's ghost. Sulfuron, Archimon,